Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the GSMC Baseball Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Jeff Malinoff. And with the aftermath of the two biggest signings of Manny Machado and Bryce Harper done and moved on with, we will talk about what the future holds for both those guys and if they're in the right team to win it. Also, we'll talk about Mike Trout, and is his destiny $400 million contract? We'll talk about that also. We'll actually start with that. Also, we'll talk about Tim Tebow and him brought to the minors and if he should just call it quits. And also a little fun thing about Harper and his first at-bat and his first at-plate appearance for the Philadelphia Phillies and what music he went into. It's kind of funny how that all worked out. Also, Stephen Wright on a 80-game suspension we'll discuss. Also, a former starting pitcher in baseball is going to be in jail for the next 3 years due to a certain charge of drugs, and we'll talk about that also. But we will start with Mike Trout. As you know about the $330 million contract for Bryce Harper and the $300 million contract for Manny Machado, there are talks of what is Mike Trout worth. Now, I believe there was a poll taken on Twitter or somewhere around there, where it went up to, jokingly, he should be paid $900 zillion. Obviously not the case. And being realistic, the lowest I saw was like $400 million. But people were sort of saying like maybe $500 million. Which, honestly, $500 million I can see happening in the future, but not the near future. I say by like 2025, we would see a $500 million contract, because we're getting to that point now where there's more and more money to be spent, and there's more and more, like, of course there's like probably inflation and stuff like that, but there's also like just these thoughts of what are these agents telling their players, their clients, like, you're worth this, you're worth that, don't settle less than this, and so on and so forth. Because it felt like that there was at one point a time where Bryce Harper, $400 million wasn't too far off. So it's safe to say that if you're going to say in the nearby future, there's definitely going to be a $400 million contract probably going into Mike Trout. But, you know, as a free agent, if you're told, yeah, we'll give you $400 million, would you consider looking at other options saying, can you offer more than $400 million? Because it's also a fact of making yourself into an auction and going for the highest bidder, you know? Like, you can't just go, I'll take it, $400 million. I'll be like, you know, maybe even if I'm his agent, I'm going, you know, you could probably get more of $400 million. We can probably get, maybe we can try 420 or even 450. Like, why not, right? I mean, why not try to tip the scale over a little bit? And worst comes worst, you can just accept that $400 million contract because you're such a talented player. I don't believe that someone will back out on that deal, you know? Someone saying, you know what, you've been looking at other teams, we're backing on this on your contract. No way that's happening due to the of talent that Mike Trout is. He's a franchise player, without question. Without Trout, the Angels would be even worse than they are now. I mean, let's look at his stats. Let's look at his career stats with the Angels. I mean, he's been all-star at an all-star appearance. He's been the face of base. He's been one of the most popular faces of baseball, if you you can argue. Because, yes, he's on maybe not the most marketable team in the Angels, because it's not because they're in a bad place. Obviously, they're in L.A. So he's in the right home. He's in the right area, you know. But with the Dodgers making back-to-back World Series appearances, they're kind of on the back burner, if you will. And, of course, it doesn't help they haven't made the playoffs. But here's his career stats. He's had almost 4,000 at-bats and has batted over 300. He batted over 300 in 2018, and he has a career batting average of 307. His first year in 2011, he played 40 games, and he had 27 hits in those 40 games, which is not bad, actually, not bad at all. So it's not like he's like in, like, so since 2012, these are his batting averages: 326, 323, 287, 299, 315, 306, and 312. And in those seasons, the lowest amount of games he's ever played in a season is 114. So he's played almost all the entire season with a 300, at least at 280 or 250 batting, a 250 batting average. But his worst batting average was 287. So he's averaged at least, of course, his career average is 307. But that means he's projected to have a batting average over 300 every single year. That is impressive. And that is getting the job done. And also, his slugging percentage is also extremely impressive when you look at it. I mean, he's only been in the league since 2011. I mean, he kind of would play less than a season, way less than half a season in 2011, like a third of it, less than a third, if you will. So from 2012 to now, his slugging percentage has not gone below 550. His lowest ever has been 550. That's insane. You know, he led the league in slugging percentage in 2015 and also 2017. And he's also led the league in stolen bases in 2012 when he had 49 stolen bases. He is an all-around amazing player. He's led the league in on-base percentage 3 years in a row. And when he becomes a free agent, is basically what I'm saying is he's going to be, I believe, he'll just be as hot a commodity, if not more, than Bryce Harper. And due to Bryce Harper's massive contract, he's gonna be in more of a market. He's gonna be more in a higher bidding war than others. Bryce Harper was, because no one's ever been that high up in the in that much money before. I mean, $300 million was the largest free agent contract in history up until Bryce Harper's $330 million contract, and he has the highest contract in baseball history. I mean, the highest before that was $325 with Carlos Stanton, and, you know, actually, it was funny. I was actually looking at an old quote from the Babe Ruth era, and he signed a contract back in the day. I forget what year it was. I'll find it again, though. But he signed a contract that was 2 years and $160,000. And the Yankees general manager at the time, Ed Barrow, on this 2 year $160,000 contract, and he commented, "No one will ever be paid more." Well, Now people are paid way, 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 way more. But again, $160,000 back then was around, what, $1.5, $1.6 million? Which is also absolutely insane. So he was a millionaire in today's time. And of course, $1 to $2 million looks like chump change now compared to what other guys are getting, but it's just crazy to see how far we've come in contract and money wise to other teams and to other players and how much a player is worth. And so if I had to guess, I'm still saying that Mike Trout's at least getting $350 million. He's not getting anything lower than what Harper is making. He just won't accept that. Or his agent wouldn't accept it. Probably both, to be completely honest. But it's one of those things, you're looking at it, and it's showing you that I showed you the stats of Mike Trout. I feel like he is a hot commodity when he's a free agent in a couple of years. And with that being said, this is a point where you're looking at and going, is he going to go to the Phillies? Because that's what Bryce Harper is pushing for. But can they afford him? I mean, technically, they can afford him and Harper. But, man, that would be a lot of money for just two players. That's roughly around $1 billion. If he gets about a quarter of $1 billion. So like $750 million for two players is actually insane. So I don't know if they even want to risk that much money for two players, but you know, we've seen crazier things happen. I guess the Phillies are going to become the New York Yankees. Am I right? Ha 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 ha. But regardless, Mike Trout is going to be going to be the Bryce Harper sweepstakes in 2020. But we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about a new MLB rule that just came out. The trade deadline is going to be changing. We'll talk right about that right after this.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. We just talked about Mike Trout and what if he is worth $400 billion and what are the other outcomes he could have on his contract when it's up and if he's going to go to the Phillies and all that other good stuff. But let's get into other news that happened just today. The league will make July 31st non-waiver trade deadline the only deadline this season. So July 31st is the trade deadline, and that is going to be a very interesting day, to say the least. We're going to see a lot of, I'm assuming, we're going to see a lot of trades that day, or the day before at least, like we see every year. And the trade deadline is like a good thing for fans and almost like a bad thing for general managers and owners, because you are sometimes in a rush when you have a deadline. You sometimes wait till the last minute. Let's face it, we've all done it. I've done it during my days in college and high school. And then there's also the fact of you're just wanting to do something just to do something because you have the option to do it. I hope that made sense. What I'm saying is, like, a lot of players or a lot of owners and a lot of teams make moves just in the sake of making moves, you know? So it's one of those things you're looking at it and going, is it worth it to make the move? But it's making a move, so let's go for it. You know, it's like We got to add new additions to our team. We got to have a new face of our team or something of that nature. And we just got to make these moves just so we can get some noise going around, you know? It's more of a business ploy, maybe a point to sell tickets, honestly, rather than just boosting your team up. Because, yeah, you can boost your team up, but if you get someone that people know as a potential new member of the team, well, then people are going to go to your games to see him play for the first time in your team's uniform. People are going to buy his jersey. People are going to be interested in seeing him in a new uniform. I think everybody will once it comes down to it. So it's just one of those things where it's a great business idea as well as a boosting your team idea because it could bring more revenue into who you trade. But again, a lot of prospects get traded in these trade deadlines. And to that, it's one of those things and you're looking at it and going, wow, you could lose out on someone huge if you're not careful. You're gonna be giving away somebody. You just hope that it's not something so crucial, you know. So, with that being said, we're adding to the point that since the trade deadline is now July 31st, that's gonna be the no waiver trade deadline. That's when it's the only trade deadline of the season. It's interesting. I think that's roughly around the All-Star break, so it's kind of like the NBA. I know the All-Star break's like in June, right? So like 2 months afterwards. So I guess it is different from the NBA, of course, because the trade deadline is before the All-Star break. I believe they moved it up for that purpose, so it's before the All-Star break, so players have more time together, if you will. But it's an interesting concept to think about overall because of the fact that this kind of would change up some team schedules because by now, like during spring training, you kind of already have a plan of, okay, we're going to do some trade work before the trade deadline on this day. It's been moved. Well, now we got to reschedule up our whole game plan for the season if we're going to improve for the next season or we're going to improve for this season or whatever their plans are going to be. It seems to me that moving the trade deadline would affect some people's ideas. It would affect some people's game plans, if you will. So that could be also a factor in this, but also, of course, and you know what? Think about it now about the trade deadline and all that. July 31st, there's about 2 months left into the season, roughly. So there's going to be, like, you're going to know by that point if your team's going to be in the playoffs or not. Or you're hopeful to the playoffs, or you're just dunskies, you know? So I guess what this means in theory, to me at least, is so teams that are looking for a playoff push or to get into the playoffs will use that trade deadline to maybe in a panic mode almost, and then other teams will take advantage of that panic mode and get things, the prospects they want for, well, teams that are losing at least, prospects for their future. So I guess it could work out both ways. Teams that are looking to win now and are looking to make the playoffs, and also teams that are knowing they're not going to make the playoffs and there's no chance to get some prospects later on. So it could work both ways. I mean, maybe I'm thinking of the best case scenario for both teams in this situation, for two teams in one trade. But, I mean, we've learned from football, usually these trades, and I guess baseball too, we've learned these trades usually are one-sided, to say the least. So, yeah, I just have to say that, like, in putting that into perspective of what type of trades will now be going down. Are we going to see any kind of change, or are we not going to see any kind of change when it comes down to the trade deadline and it's staying on July 31st? So basically, August and September are the 2 months you cannot do a trade before October, of course. So there is thought about what these trades will be like going into July 31st, like July 30th. What is that going to be like this season? Well, I guess we're going to find out, but I'm interested to see what goes down. I'm interested to see if any team will get desperate and try to trade a bunch of prospects or something of that nature for a powerhouse hitter or all-star pitcher and trying to win and get into the playoffs this season based off of the facts that, like, all right, we're two games out of the playoffs. We can still make it. We just need one more piece. And I don't care about my minor league squad at the moment. My team can win now. I can sacrifice them. How often have we seen that, right? That continuous arbitrary of just like overthinking and thinking about winning now and not thinking about winning later and going into situations where you are no longer winning now and you can't win later because you traded all your prospects. So it's a risk. It's a high reward, high risk type of situation. So the question is like, I guess there is different circumstances when it comes down to it when you're looking at this July 31st trade deadline, but I'm interested to see what else goes down. And like, as for spring training, there was something funny about spring training. As Bryce Harper's first at bat in a Phillies uniform for spring training, he came out to Fresh Prince of Bel Air for some reason. I know why. It goes in West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground where I spent most of my days, West Philadelphia. I'm not going to sing the whole song, even though I totally could. So like, so cool, shouldn't be ball outside the school. So when the come to guys, we're up to no good. Starting to make, okay, I got to stop. Like, I want a little fight, and my mom got scared. It's a movie with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air. Okay, I'm done. That is so catchy, though. Like, he's smart that he's that song is so catchy. That fresh, ever since I read that news, Fresh Prince of Bel Air has been in my head ever since. So thank you for that. Regardless, I think it's safe to say more along the lines of he's having fun with this spring training. And I think spring training is not something to really look at as a serious situation, of course. I think it's more along the lines of just like good old like just some scrimmages. I think it's too long for a preseason, to be honest with you, but we'll see how everything goes down. But honestly, it's hard to pay attention to the spring training. But next week, I will be saying like my predictions for who will win each division and my reason why. And that will be interesting to say the least. I'm going to just try to get my unbiased opinion about everything. Well, I guess that I always do get my unbiased opinion about everything. But I'm not going to lie. This new season for baseball is going to be very interesting, to say the least, because of these new signings. And are these new teams favorites and such and such? So we'll see how everything goes about. But that's for next week, so hold on tight for that. For right now, though, we're going to take a short break again. And when we come back, we'll be talking about a couple of suspension that happened as well as an arrest that happened for multiple pitchers. So we'll be right on that when we return.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back, everyone, to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. We just finished talking about trade deadlines and all that good stuff. Now, let's get into some other interesting stuff, as we have an 80-day suspension this year. Shocking, I know we rarely get these, or do we get these every single year? It's hard to tell which one nowadays. But right now, we have a certain Steven Wright, as he has been suspended for 80 games off his PED suspension. So that is a pretty hefty, well, obviously the right choice. Obviously PEDs are illegal, and that's roughly around the time people do get those suspensions. I think Melky Cabrera got the same thing in 2012 and plenty more. So with that, it's going to obviously not bode well for the team he is on, because he is a starting pitcher. And, I mean, 80 days, man, that's... the Red Sox did win a World Series last year, granted, and he was an All-Star in 2016. I mean, 2018 could have been... 2018 was a good year just for the whole team, you know? Overall, in 2018, he pitched 53 2/3 innings, 20 appearances, 4 starts, 3-1 record as a starter, and a 2.68 ERA, which included he was initially included on the Boston's postseason roster, but was replaced by another guy in Heath Hembree, who did not get suspended for PEDs, but regardless, they went on to win the World Series. He was injured. He got replaced due to a previous knee injury that aggravated itself. So he went on to win the World Series with the Dodgers, second career World Series title, because in 2013 the Red Sox again won the World Series, and that was his first appearance with them. So he has 2 World Series rings already. But earlier this year, on the 11th of January, he signed a 1-year contract with the Red Sox again, worth $1.375 million. And then he received his 80-game suspension without pay after testing positive for a growth hormone-releasing peptide 2. GHRP2 is formally called, or roughly called. And it's known as a form-enhancing substance, obviously. It's a steroid. Which violates MLPD's Joint Drug Prevention and Treatment MLB's Joint Drug Prevention and Treatment Program. So he obviously is suspended for 80 games, which is half the season, basically, in that circumstance. So he's going to be gone for quite some time, but I don't think he's that crucial enough to be that big of a deal as he's gone, because how talented this Red Sox team is. And quite frankly, I don't think they lost anyone major. I don't think there was anyone that really, that left the team or got suspended or something like that, or got injured, that took a massive blow for the team in general. So with that being said, I think it's probably more along the lines that just losing a roster spot, losing a number of rotations you got in a pitcher. So just unfortunate, to say the least. And just, I don't know if this hurts. Like I said, I don't know if this hurts the team, but I think it's more along the lines of just like the less amount of players you have able to pitch, it's not as good. The more the merrier, I say, when it comes to that kind of stuff. So hopefully there'll be a little bit of a change for them, but regardless, it seems that he's going to be gone for 80 games, which is a good chunk. We'll see if he even comes back this season. But, and then also, he's not the only pitcher that kind of got, in trouble. There's an ex-MLB starting pitcher, Esteban Luisia. I apologize if I butchered that name, but he is facing 3 years in prison. Yes, he's facing 3 years in prison for cocaine. And you're thinking, wow, 3 years for cocaine, that seems like a lot, granted based off other sentencing we've seen in the past. To that, I would say yes. But he had 44 pounds of it, and he was going to sell it all. 44 pounds of cocaine. For those that don't really follow like the law and stuff like that, that's a lot. 44 pounds. The size of my niece or my baby nephew. I don't even know. That is ginormous amounts of cocaine. That's a scary amount. Hopefully he wasn't going to use it on himself. It seemed that it was going to be mainly for distribution purposes. So he was going to sell it, which was probably going to be worth a lot of money because 44 pounds. 44. That's two fours, by the way. Well, you combine them, like you fusion them like Dragon Ball Z, and that's how they do it. Regardless, I think it's more along the lines of, well, he's 3 years in prison for this charge makes sense due to the amount that was had to it. But just seeing players, former MLB players, get in this much trouble with the law, especially in a situation where you're looking at it and going, wow, he really hit rock bottom because he obviously didn't make enough money playing baseball, so he obviously had to result in selling drugs. So that's just a sad statement, in fact, just to say the least. But, yeah, it's just, I honestly want to say that's news because 44 pounds is just absurd in all honesty. I still can't get over that. If you only have like a few ounces, I think you still get in big time trouble for it. So having 44 pounds of it is a whole nother level of holy moly, you are just doing interesting things, or not doing interesting things. You're somehow just getting this stuff for, I'm assuming, a good profit in question mark. I'm not sure how dealing drugs and buying drugs works, but having 44 pounds of it must have not have been easy. So I guess with that, we're going to just move on from that story because that's over. It's done with. We're moving on. It's a new day. It's a new generation. But of course, it's always nice to look at it and going, well, you got to talk about a serious jail time like that for a former starting pitcher. So it just shows that there are some demons outside the baseball diamond and outside this professional sports world that we really need to look at and be honestly seriously concerned with. Maybe seriously concerned with is a strong word to use, but I believe that deep down that there should be there is something we should really be concerned with when it comes down to the fact that these players are having to succumb to a lot of this unnecessary law breaking. So that's just how I see it, at least. But we're going to take a short break now. Just going off of that, we're going to take another short break. And when we come back, we will be finishing up today's topics with some other things that happen in the world of baseball. So we'll be right on that when we return.
Want to know the latest in soccer? Then listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast. From MLS, the World Cup, and the Premier League, we've got you covered. The latest updates, the hottest matches, and news on the league's top players. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast.
David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. We're finishing up the day here. Well, even though he's not actually in the majors, we still got to talk about him, and that's Tim Tebow. Because regardless of where he is in the baseball world, he's going to be talked about because of his past as a Heisman Trophy winner and his football career with the Denver Broncos and the New York Jets and the very forgetful time he was with the New England Patriots. So with that being said, we got to talk about this kind of stuff. And, well, Tim Tebow has played 15 games in spring training, up with the majors, if you will. He's already been sent down to the minors. Yep. It is in his 15 games, he's hit a .267 batting average with one RBI, which is pretty poor, all things considered. In 15 at-bats, you can only muster a .260 batting average. And in 15 games, you couldn't get more than one run batted in. That shows a lot of concern if this is ever going to happen for Tim Tebow. Like, is it more along the lies, of selling a ticket for their minor league club, or are they legitimately thinking he could be a big-time player? But I honestly don't think he can be a big-time player. I think the best he can do is be a starting quarterback in the league. Starting quarterback in the NFL and a starting, not even a starting player in the MLB. I don't know. But regardless, it's one of those things you're looking at it and going, well, he gave it a shot. Maybe it's just time to go to, like, being on the analyst of college football programs and stuff like that, like he has been in the past. But I just don't think he can make it in a professional standpoint as a professional athlete. I think that time, he's 31 years old. I think it's time for him to admit that being 31 and maybe that being a professional athlete is not in the stars. It might suck to hear that, obviously. But it's one of those things where you sometimes need to hear it because the people around you care about you type of feel. Does that make sense? Yeah. I think it more along the lines of, but hey, I give Tim Tebow all the credit in the world for having the guts to do this. Because, like, you know, it's like, oh, it's just baseball. But it's like, he doesn't need to play in the minors. He probably has plenty of money himself, so he doesn't really need to do this. But he has a passion for professional sports. And if he wants to try to make it in baseball, he was more than welcome to and got the opportunity to. So you got to respect him for at least trying in that circumstance. And going after it like that. So I just have a lot of respect for the guy for just being very humble in being in the minors, because there was a time where you could easily him saying, screw this, I'm out of here, I don't need this, and walking out and just making more money elsewhere. But he gave it a shot, and he's still giving it a shot. He's not quitting yet. And you got to respect the man for that, because that is being persistent. And, you know, in the world, you got to be persistent. You got to be a little annoying to get opportunities. And what I mean by that is, it's going to a point where you're looking at it and seeing, like, would you have quit? Maybe, because it just doesn't look like something that's worth it, going to a minor league Mets squad. So he's just a very resilient guy. And I remember all the bad publicity he was getting when he was used to be the starting quarterback for the Broncos, and that he was a tad criticized just based off his play, and he can't throw the football and all this, yada, yada, yada. So it just shows his talent at mentally and physically. So, obviously, with his physical attributes, I thought he would do well in baseball, to be honest. He has, like, that power-hitting form and the pattern-hitting size. So, it seemed like he would do pretty well in baseball, but, you know, it's different. Baseball form is different than heavy muscles, and he hasn't played baseball in quite some time. So, it was a problem at first with, like, that. So, it just didn't work out, bottom line. And and it didn't work out, but I mean, it's not entirely over yet. Because technically it's not over yet, because he's still on the team. I haven't heard anything about him being just straight up cut. So yeah, he's staying alive, if you will, you know. Ha 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 ha. I'm not gonna sing the actual song. But you know what I mean by the fact that he had the guts that we didn't have. Well, okay. He had the opportunities we didn't have, of course, but it's also due to the fact that, like, he's just talented and he's resilient. He doesn't let the critics get to him, and that's just a very respect. I just respect that a lot. I admire the guy for that, to be completely honest with you. But I think that's our show for the day. Thank you so much for joining us, and tune us in next week as I'll do my predictions for the regular season and who will win each division and who, maybe, just maybe, will get to the World Series. That is for next Wednesday, and also tune into our sports and our basketball podcasts that are happening today and tomorrow is also sports, football, and soccer. And I will only be here tomorrow, and I'll see you next time. Have a good day, everybody, and happy hump day.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.